This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I will be giving you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Our current topic deals with some important personal scriptures of my own life, and that list of scriptures can be found on my website. This program can be re-listened to on the website, and my weekly meditation can be found there as well. Now, there's other information that you might find helpful, so if you would like the website address or my mailing address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of this program. Now, today we're going to continue on these important personal scriptures that guided my life, and I think I mentioned to you that recently we were involved with a neighbor who knows very little about the Bible. Believed that she believed in God, but didn't really know anything about the Bible and had a lot of questions about it. And through the simplicity of John 3:16, she found out that the Bible, basic Bible message, was not that hard to understand. And she realized that if you really did believe what God said in the Bible, then you could have the assurance that Christ had died for your sins. And she trusted the Savior. And now it is our responsibility to try to guide her and disciplize her with regard to her understanding of who God is. And we will again be trying to do that through the Bible. But it's very difficult for us to take a person back to Genesis and have them read through the Bible when they know so little about it. Most people will get from Genesis maybe up to about the 12th to 14th chapter of Exodus, and they give up on the Old Testament, even though if they would skip ahead, they would find that the histories and the Psalms might make sense to them, but they give up on it. And if you have them read the New Testament, just read the New Testament, there's so many references to the Old Testament that it doesn't really make sense to them. So from the standpoint of a teacher, we have to begin somewhere, and I told this young lady that she would have to trust us to some degree and let us guide her to some basic scriptural principles that have guided our life while she is starting to read her Bible, and we do trust that she will start reading. We'll probably encourage her to read from the New Testament first and then read in the Old. And it's only by consistent, consecutive reading of the Bible and by praying to the Lord that we maintain our fellowship with the Lord. And, of course, having confidence in other Christians and having fellowship with other Christians is also important. But this is a new life that we get when we trust Christ. John 3 says it's a new birth, and we need to enjoy that new life. We've been made new in Christ Jesus. It's, as I've said many times, it's like saying I do in a marriage ceremony. Things change when you do, and they change for the better if you've married the right person, and if you have said I do to the Lord, you have married the right person. So it seems simplistic, and it seems simplistic to this young lady to believe that our relationship with God is strictly based on and what people call an archaic piece of writing, an old piece of writing that has been around for years. But in fact, that is just exactly what has happened. We have indicated on this program, and we've indicated to her, that the Bible is to the Christian what the Constitution ought to be to a U.S. lawyer. And we have noted with you last time that two scriptures that are very important with regard to this issue is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then That's a message that Peter gave a man by the name of Timothy. And then Peter writes about Paul's writings, and he says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. This is 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. And it would appear that Peter is is saying that Paul's writings are scripture, they are holy writings, and he is making them equal to the rest of the scriptures. And we need to remember that, because there are a lot of people who like to pick and choose what they're going to believe. I understand that we are not in the Old Testament, and some of those Old Testament illustrations are not ceremonies that we have to be worried about today. We don't have to keep those dietary laws, and we could go on and on. But all of those things that are in the Old Testament are divinely inspired, and the New Testament explains how they apply to us today, and usually the Old Testament illustrates the principles of the New Testament. And so Paul's writings are divinely inspired, and there are people that I know that will say, well, I read those red places in my Bible, the places where the Lord spoke, and I believe them. And other people tell me that they accept Peter's writings or James's writings, but they don't accept Paul's writings. Well, in my mind, when you read the Bible, you have to accept the parts you don't like just as much as you have to accept the parts that you do like. And yes, there are parts of the scripture that you probably do not like, that probably do not appeal to you, particularly the parts having to do with church order, because the church order as found in the Bible is quite different from church order as found in our basic, even fundamental churches today. Now, when we deal with somebody who's newly come to the faith, one thing that we like to do is we like to constantly go over the scriptures that are clear with regard to the gospel. Now, our friend was enlightened and was able to trust the Lord through John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I suspect that every time we meet with her, we're going to remind her of that verse and talk to her about it. Because I do know that once we are saved, Satan comes along and he uses what's called in Ephesians 6, the fiery darts of the wicked one, to try to convince us that this isn't enough or that this isn't really true. And so we need to be reassured that it really is true, and we need to get grounded on the fact that it is true. Now, John 3:16, of course, was a passage that Nicodemus, who came to the Lord by night, apparently also was enlightened through, maybe got assurance through, because he really understood for the first time in talking to the Lord what the Old Testament scripture in Numbers 21 had to do with the Lord's coming. Because in Numbers there was a story about the Israelites complaining and sinning against God, and there were serpents sent amongst them, poisonous serpents that were biting them, and they were dying. And they went to Moses and asked Moses to remove the serpents. And Moses went to God and asked God to remove the serpents. And God said, no, you put a brazen serpent on a pole, and anyone who looks at that brazen serpent will live, which meant that those who had already been bitten could look and live just as well as those who were going to be bitten could look and live. And if the serpents had been taken away, only those who had not already been bit would have been saved. This was a better plan. But the Lord used that illustration with Nicodemus, who was a student of the Old Testament, and said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And Nicodemus, for the first time, it appears to me, understood the symbolism associated with that Old Testament story, which was a very real story in the history of Israel. So that's why all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We aren't saved today by looking to a brazen serpent. We're saved like Nicodemus by looking to, or getting our eye on, or having faith in the Lord Jesus, who was going to be lifted up on a cross and was going to die for our sins. For Nicodemus, it was a future thing. For us, that has happened. He has been raised up on the cross. He has died. He has been buried. He has been raised from the dead. He has promised us that he's going to return for us. He says, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So we will constantly remind this young lady of John 3:16, and we will remind her of other scriptures that reinforce that truth. 1 Corinthians 15:3, which I have quoted part of already, says, for I delivered to you, Paul says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And I believe in 1 Corinthians 15, when he says according to the Scriptures, he's referring to Old Testament Scriptures like Numbers 21. He's referring to Old Testament Scriptures like Isaiah 53. He's referring to Old Testament Scriptures that tell the resurrection of Christ, like we would see in perhaps Psalm 16. And so he says that the Lord did these things according to the Scriptures, and we need to be reminded that the New Testament teaching is consistent with Old Testament prophecies and with Old Testament illustrations. So we'll try to remind her of that truth. And again, we will remind her of John 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Isn't that nice? That's an equal sign. If you believe in the Son, you have everlasting life. And one thing I emphasize when I look at this is that if you can't say you're going to heaven, if you can't say you're saved, if you can't say for sure you have everlasting life, then whatever believing in the Son means, you haven't done it. Because if you believe in the Son, you have everlasting life. And the sad part of this is that every good gospel verse has good news and bad news. And when we look at John 3:16, we have that word perish. When we look at this verse, it says, he who does not believe the Son, he who rejects the Son, really, the word is a little different word than the one we found in the first part of the verse, he who believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he who disobeys or rejects the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so whenever we look at the gospel, we see good news and we see bad news. We see alternatives set before us, choices set before us. And so we recognize that these are simple verses to those who want to know the truth, but to those who do not want to know the truth, these verses do not make sense to them. And so we will remind her of 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. When she came to us, that was the condition she was in. When she left, the veil had been removed, and she was able to say, I know I'm going to heaven. And so these are verses that are very important and that we will continually remind her of, because they're verses that will be reassuring. I like John 5 and 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And dear friend, I trust you have passed from death unto life. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We pray for those who are listening. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.